Drill Crew Podcast. Welcome to, as that robot voice says, the NaturoCrit Podcast, and thank you for boldly listening. What are we even talking about? Well, this podcast series is my take on naturopathic medicine, an area I've been studying for about 20 years, including my time in so-called scientific, non-sectarian, naturopathic medical school. My approach is a pairing of scientific skepticism and a deep knowledge of naturopathy's intimate details. In previous episodes of this series, I established that naturopathy is, essentially, a kind of knowledge blending, misrepresentation, and irrationality. I have termed naturopathy both an epistemic conflation, falsely posing itself as an epistemic delineation, and the naturopathological. The science exterior is mixed with what is scientific. Then that whole muddle is absurdly claimed to be science as an entire category, while particular, sectarian, science-ejected oath obligations and requirements are coded or camouflaged, therein effectively disguising naturopathy's system of beliefs in public view. Naturopathy's ultimate achievement is a profound erosion of scientific integrity and freedom of belief, packaged in the marketing veneer natural, and improperly embedded in the academic category, science. Episode Synopsis. In this part 5 of this 5-part NaturoCrit Podcast episode 4, titled, quote, The New York A&P, Their 2014 Bill Fabrication and Content History, unquote, I will mainly deal with what modern science has to say about the essentially naturopathic, the non-scientific status of naturopathy's essential, core, or defining vitalistic, supernatural, and teleological therapeutic and academic obligations, and naturopathy's homeopathic activities. I will cite from The Next Generation Science Standards, by way of the National Academies Press, archived New York Academy of Sciences web pages, NYU's Alan Sokol, and from a few other academic sources. And I must note, to add a sense of drama, that if science can be anything, epistemically speaking, if there is no such thing as epistemic distinction, as the naturopaths in some would have us believe, then I don't have an argument at all. And I am not a scientist, to be clear. And to be clearest, I don't see the credentials ND creating scientist status either, though naturopathy claims it is a branch of medical science. Where's the scientific methodology happening in terms of the essentially naturopathic? Where is the quality experimentation that then generates the data that then lends support to a theory, like a vital force spirit figmentation theory? Well, truth is, historically speaking, this was all tried before. As Santayana said, quote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, unquote. My argument regarding the actual non-scientific and such status of what naturopathy blanketly labels as science and such will stand or fall based upon what I'll call experts' qualified refutations. And they do remember. I myself am just a bumbling education consumer whose experiences in .edu university level higher education in regionally and federally accredited naturopathy college in Connecticut that's embedded in a supposed, quote, health science, unquote, academic context with such good science stuff in it like vital forces and chi can be summed up with these words, academically fraudulent and racket. That's the UB stuff I covered in episode 1A of this podcast series. And by racket, I mean an unnecessary need or artificial situation naturopathy has induced, that it then offers a solution for that leads to its financial gain, as in racketeering. Simply by stating that naturopathy doesn't just simply treat the symptoms or the illness in comparison to conventional medicine is one version of that artificial situation. The claim that conventional medicine doesn't treat the cause or origin the way naturopathy does, because conventional medicine ignores naturopathy's vital force, spirit, figmentation, and such. After all, it is Bastier.edu that tells us in the November 2013 dated and 2013 archived, quote, singer, songwriter, naturopathic student, Debbie Miller's double act, unquote. Quote, naturopathic medicine seeks to release the body's healing life force, the vis medicatrix naturae, unquote. How much more ironic can things be with, quote, double act, unquote, in the title of a webpage speaking of a science-ejected idea that's vitalistic, supernatural, and teleological, placed beneath the school's broad mission page label of supposed, quote, science-based, unquote. Andy Wilson, if you remember, provided another version of that racketeering when she stated, quote, naturopathic medicine is not an exclusion of other forms of medicine, but without it, we are missing the wellness that we seek and that can help our country during a healthcare crisis, unquote. Making ordinary people worry and providing an answer to that worry. Just more fleecing of the common man at a time when actual medical care costs are skyrocketing. Naturopathy offers us crisis mitigating, empty homeopathic and such unicorn tears and magic beans. You may also note, in terms of my background, that my criticism of naturopathy is not due to credentials such as MD, as in Mary. I have no such credentials and just a desire to analyze and inform because he couldn't stop thinking. This episode, again, will be longer than my typical 30-ish minutes, and I haven't forgotten the overarching question I'd asked when I began this episode 4 so long ago. Quote, will New York A&P naturopathy accurately define and locate itself for the public and legislators in the New York State licensure bill that they are drafting for 2014 along the lines of its illegitimate informed consent and actual non-fiduciary status and inauthentic epistemic categorization, unquote. What do you think? Summary so far. The table that I'll include in the transcript of this part 5 of episode 4 will act as a summary of what I've done in the previous 4 parts. I've tabulated how I've used each source in regard to naturopathy's broad science claim, coded vitalism, overt supernaturalism, professions label, distinct claim, in-house dispensary, teleology, informed consent callousness as measured by the coding of vitalism and not stating its non-scientific status, and eventual overt vitalism. In the table, where I've written no, merely indicates that I did not find that parameter in my searching of either my database, the paper-based publications I own, or several live or archived web pages from that source. But it doesn't indicate that, ultimately, such a parameter isn't perhaps available from that source. Again, there's only so much I can talk about without diluting this episode into chaos. So in sum, what we have from this table as a language preponderance is a broad or blanket science label upon the naturopathic, an indisputable supernatural belief in something supernatural, whatever that is, of a general kind of, quote, spirit, unquote, that can be, quote, developed, unquote, and strangely called natural, and that vitalistic and teleological or intelligent, quote, life force, unquote, running the show, that ends up being a kind of master spirit intelligence governing the mind-body spirit of that naturopathic, sectarian, metaphysical quadrad, for lack of a better term. And there are other big ethical issues, particularly issues of informed consent. Now, as theories, there is no qualifying data for that supernaturalism, vitalism, and teleology to explain. And explanations without data, in my view, are fabrications and violations of parsimony. Life forces, fields, powers, and energies simply don't exist in terms of the science called physics, which studies the forces of the physical universe. And we already know the basis of life in the science of life, biology, and it is not a life force spirit figmentation. Well, to be more succinct, there is nothing for these sectarian ideas to explain that better explanations already don't explain in science, period. Perhaps these better explanations can be summed up as physicalism, DNA and then biochemistry, biological complexity, and the properties that therein occur, versus our human imagination's inherent tendency towards superstition and the supernaturalizing of life and its processes. So, to go beyond what data rationally points to is termed in science a violation of parsimony. But I'll get to science references soon. First, regarding Vis Medicatrix Naturae, I have to mention here that the naturopathy publication Naturopathic Doctor News and Review, recently published in November 2013 by way of N.D. Gilbert of CCNM and N.D. Student Murphy of CCNM, quote, "The Healing Power of What? Definitions of the Vis Medicatrix Naturae on Professional Naturopathic Websites," unquote. Fascinating. We're told, quote, "The Vis Medicatrix Naturae is at the crux of naturopathic philosophy and principles." Agreed. As a vitalistic ideology, the Vis was defined from the sampled web pages of naturopathic medical schools, provincial state licensing boards, and individual practitioners as something which cannot solely be explained by science and physiochemical forces. The notion that the Vis is part of a larger scale, universal, and spiritual aspect of life is often stressed. And the authors write of the risk of abandoning the larger context of naturopathy's nature, as well as a connection with the vitalistic roots of the naturopathic profession, and a sense of wholeness between physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and environmental spheres. One article author focuses on the sociocultural, mental, emotional, and spiritual factors of health and illness. As an assistant professor at CCNM, teaching naturopathic philosophy and botanical medicine, as well as being a clinical supervisor at a community health center in downtown Toronto, the other author focuses on the mind-body-spirit connection when treating patients, unquote. There we go. Vitalism, supernaturalism. But then they write of, quote, "a bridge between scientific and holistic definitions as it, Vis Medicatrix Naturae, can be interpreted as being a physiological process, but can also encompass the vitalistic approach as well as a spiritual component," unquote. Reminding me of N.D. Eliot and that urge for epistemic and ontological blending. It's science, it's supernatural, it's distinct, it's both. How naturopathic. Regarding science, we're told, quote, "the Vis can be understood from a physiological or even mechanistic perspective." That is, by the way, completely historically naive. Vitalism was a response against mechanistic, physicalistic explanations of life as biological processes which provide support to the body's homeodynamic nature. The Vis regulates the healing of wounded tissue and the mounting of immune responses to pathogens, inducing fever, inflammation, etc. It explains bodily structure and function. Negative. I do believe DNA explains bodily structure and function, as well as interaction with the actual physical world. The modulatory nature and capabilities of the body, from speed to accuracy. These are scientific and mechanistic interpretations. I disagree, which are both material and tangible, unquote. Empirical and material, tangible, mechanistic, no. There are better, much more parsimonious explanations as to what governs physiology and development And they are, and this is a harsh reality that naturopathy doesn't seem to want to absorb, along the lines of the physiochemical, DNA and biochemistry, biological complexity, and the properties that therein occur. What the NDs are arguing for is blurring the vastly stark distinction between the fact that in science, life, or biology, is based on physicalism by way of the empirical, and our human imagination's inherent tendency towards superstition and blind, archaic belief by way of a kind of dualism and dogma, particularly as concerns what's alive. There is distinction between those two views. A stark distinction exists. Now, amazingly, there is no mention in this article of a, quote, life force, unquote, or a, quote, vital force, unquote. None. Yet even in the same publication, NDNR, you get that transparency in other ND's writings, such as CCNM graduate Serzenko, a graduate of the same school as this article's authors, who writes in the April 2013 article, quote, to fear or trust the fever, unquote, which I have in paper, quote, when we talk about vital force, the vis medicatrix naturae, unquote. Unbelievable, because these two authors are complaining in viewing these different web pages of naturopathy that there isn't enough inclusion of naturopathy's principle. For instance, we're told regarding Bridgeport.edu, quote, and as noted previously, Bridgeport fails to mention the vis on its website, unquote. As I said at the end of part four, UBCNM has become a more opaque place. And yet, in the article, they're not including the actual terminology, quote, life force, unquote, or, quote, vital force, unquote. We're also told, quote, the Foundations of Naturopathic Medicine Project is working towards codifying modern naturopathic knowledge into a cohesive textbook for the profession, unquote. Something to look forward to. According to Bastier, that textbook is scheduled to be published by Elsevier this 2014, and, quote, is being led by Pamela Snyder, ND, FNM executive and senior editor, and a Bastyr University alumna, 1982, who says this is a comprehensive international naturopathic textbook that codifies naturopathic historical, philosophical, clinical, and modern scientific information, with over 300 naturopathic physicians in a dozen countries and thought leaders from related disciplines participating in the writing, unquote. Yes, N.D. Snyder of episode 3B, who told us, quote, naturopathic medicine relies on the vital life force within human beings. We believe in the vital force, which has inherent organization, is intelligent and intelligible. We have vis medicatrix naturae, our ways to research the mystery and beauty of the life force in which we have faith, unquote. According to the NDNR article, in that Foundation's book, quote, existing definitions of key naturopathic meta-concepts, including the vis, because when you're cool, you say the vis for short, have expanded beyond the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians position paper, unquote. Regarding meta, its Wikipedia.org article states, quote, in epistemology, the prefix meta is used to mean about, this modern sense of an X about X, like metadata or data about data. Metacognition is cognition about cognition. Metaemotion is emotion about emotion, etc. Unquote. Oh, how the irony grows. The Russian nesting dolls of naturopathy. So, quote, meta-concepts, unquote, is naturopathy's concepts about their concepts, or shall I say, the concepts underneath the inaccurate representation they usually give to the world as to their concepts. So I sense more fabrication. But how much further away, or beyond, or about, can they go from a metaphysical vital force spirit figmentation running physiology like an intelligent ghost that they refuse to mention? So does expansion mean knowing naturopathy more veiling as an expansion of the camouflaging? I can't wait to find out. Speaking of international NDs, Elsevier is also the publisher of a book by Australian ND Hechtman, an alumna of NCC, which is Nature Care College in Australia. The book is titled, quote, Clinical Naturopathic Medicine, unquote, from 2011. And it has such great gems in it as, quote, Hippocrates, Galen, Avicenna, and Dioscorides all acknowledge the need for internal and external balance for health to prevail. I think we've gotten pre-medieval there, by the way. Classical. Underpinning much of ancient healing was recognition of the vital force that has been variously understood in terms of qi, prana, the temperaments, the humors, and the elements. Regardless of semantics, the body's energetics have always been considered important, and the healing power of nature has been a unifying thread woven through all traditional healing practices, unquote. I would add, all pre-scientific healing practices. Yes, discredited medieval and classical humoral medicine, imaginary forces, fluids, and energies equated with, quote, vital force, unquote. Such sanguine, choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic, respectable company. Also, it is a small world. N.D. Pizzorno writes in the introduction to N.D. Hechtman's book, quote, the major contribution of clinical naturopathic medicine that differentiates it from the textbook of natural medicine, which Pizzorno is a co-editor of, is that it is unabashedly focused entirely on naturopathic medicine. Hechtman and her colleagues expertly look at the historic origins of naturopathic concepts and therapies and then integrate these with scientific research, integrate means blend, to provide a strong foundation for modern clinical naturopathy. One of the greatest problems limiting the reemergence of naturopathic medicine has been the lack of modern textbooks, especially ones based on science. For almost a century, the mantra of conventional medicine has been that naturopathic medicine is not only not scientific, it is misguided. Here, in Hechtman's book, there is plenty of science. I especially appreciate how the authors carefully considered traditional naturopathic approaches and therapies in the context of modern science, unquote. Plenty of science. Because remember what N.D. Hechtman's book says, quote, iridology, the gallbladder region, can be located in the right iris and is positioned at 8 o'clock between the liver and the duodenal areas. All three regions are positioned on a straight radius extending from the pupil to the sclera border, unquote. Oh, the joys of this loopiness dressed up in a tuxedo. The sadness of what is happening to students' minds and patients' trust. Because beneath that tuxedo, there's a clown costume. I may purchase that book at some point. It's rather expensive right now. So much to podcast, so little time. Oh, if anyone hears of a college or university teaching or research position, resident or virtual, that would fit me in what I'm doing here in terms of naturocrit, by all means, contact me. I figure if colleges and universities are going to be riddled with this quackademic stuff, if big expensive books are going to be written on this wacko loopy stuff, let's stand to our duty and engage in combat academically and intellectually. Let's get on the field. Perhaps naturopathy scholarship fits in somewhere between criminology and stand-up comedy, between deviance and clown school. I've no graduate degree, but piles of graduate credits, mainly doctoral credits from 4 full-time years of NEASC, NEASC, accredited naturopathy and basic medical science, and various master's level courses in the humanities. It would be heaven. The mundane kind, of course. I figure if NYU can go at it as a twisted and mislabeled, quote, branch of medical science, unquote, let's give other people a shot, too, at the gravy train. Who'll be more straightforward epistemologically, more transparent academically. New York State's academic approval and regulation of non-science labeled science. As I'd said at the beginning of this episode, naturopathy as a supposed profession will be regulated in New York by the .gov Education Department, NYSED. ND Coda tells us in the webinar, Quote, in New York, it's different than in other states. Regulation is not through the Department of Health. Instead, in New York, it is organized under the education law through Title VIII of the education law, which regulates the professions. The overseeing is by the Board of Regents, the Department of Education, and then there'll be a newly established State Board of Naturopathy. The Board of Regents, they have the general power to supervise all education activities in New York. And then under the education law for the professions, they have the authority to supervise the admission and practice of each profession. And in doing that, they are allowed to make rules. And they do appoint an officer of professional conduct who can issue subpoenas and issue formal oaths as if you were in a courtroom. And then there's the Department of Education, which is the administrative body and oversees the application process and administers the practice of the profession and can do investigations and issue subpoenas and also has the power to make rules. Plus, there'll be a new State Board of Naturopathy. Their function is to assist the Board of Regents and to assist the Department of Education with regards to licensing the profession, including conduct. NDCOTA shows us NYSED.gov online, Education Law, Title VIII, The Professions, wherein naturopathy will be Article 132A, and he speaks of the overarching Article 130, which defines the overall grounds for professional misconduct and criminal activities, unquote. Good to know. So let me get this straight. The New York State.gov Department of Education has preponderant science standards for their K-12 public schools. Incidentally, I went through New York State public schools, K-12, and my bachelor's is from the City University of New York, a public university system. And New York is in line to adopt the developing even better next-generation science standards. And now, naturopathy gets to call its essential science exterior contents in a law that NYSED will endorse and oversee, quote, scientific, unquote, according to draft bill language and naturopathy's historical language preponderance. But the next generation science standards have something to say about what I see as the academic irrationality of labeling naturopathy's core idea, quote, scientific, unquote. The next generation science standards. The Wikipedia.org article on the next generation science standards states, quote, the Next Generation Science Standards, whose final draft was released in April 2013, were developed by a consortium of 26 states and by the National Science Teachers Association, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the National Research Council, and ACHIEVE. It is a multi-state effort to create new education standards that are rich in content and practice, arranged in a coherent manner across disciplines and grades, to provide all students an internationally benchmarked science education. The 26 states involved in developing them include New York, and many states are expected to adopt them within 1 to 2 years. The purposes of the standards include combating ignorance of science, developing greater interest in science, to help students understand the scientific process of developing and testing ideas, and have a greater ability to evaluate scientific evidence, unquote. That Wikipedia entry also states, quote, some states have expressed resistance towards the next generation science standards due to the standards' inclusion of anthropogenic climate change and evolution, despite the support of the scientific establishment, unquote, for those realities. Now, I'm a 2014 member of the National Center for Science Education, which combats anti-evolution and anti-climate science public school interference situations. The National Center for Science Education, who I'd used in other episodes regarding the National Association of Biology Teachers position paper on vitalism that stated in, quote, National Association of Biology Teachers, unquote, 1995. Quote, NABT will not support efforts to include in the science classroom materials or theories derived outside of the scientific processes. Non-scientific notions such as geocentrism, flat earth, creationism, young earth, astrology, psychic healing, and vitalistic theory therefore cannot legitimately be taught, promoted, or condoned as science in the classroom, unquote. The respectable company Vitalism keeps. And here we are, almost 20 years after that position paper, with Vitalism claimed to be science at colleges and universities of naturopathy, and about to be labeled as science by the New York State Education Department, by way of this 2014 naturopathy draft bill language. Do you see the parallels? Vitalism is like anti-evolutionism and anti-global warmingism. The proponents of such positions are either science ignorant or science denying or other things impenetrable to the findings and methods of science, and usually promote or are filtered by a biased or a priori position, whether that be orthodox religion, a more, say, diffuse religiosity of that New Age swath, like what we got from N.D. Sensenig in Episode 1B, or commercial interest. Anyway, New York State had stated, quote, the next generation science standards are based on the framework for K-12 science education developed by the National Research Council, unquote. The 2012 version of that publication is available at the nationalacademiespress.edu page. There are 146 instances of the word natural in that document, but not the kind of naturopathic natural that contains supernaturalism. There are no instances of spirit or soul. There are 167 instances of the word evidence. That's ironic because the 1997 AANP book told us that, quote, evidence is the cornerstone of scientific inquiry, unquote. You would think naturopathy's contents would be there since so science-based. After all, AZNMA, AANP, had written in their 2002 archived page, quote, scientific validation, naturopathic medicine passes the test, unquote. Quote, it is difficult to find another discipline which has successfully withstood as much scientific scrutiny as naturopathic medicine has, unquote. But sadly for the naturopathy movement, there are no instances of the term naturopathy or naturopathic, but there is one occurrence of naturopathy's core idea, which I'll get to in a moment. The vision of the next generation science standards is, quote, a more inclusive, focused, and authentic science education experience for all students by way of a coherent set of science standards to prepare citizens for the 21st century with coherence across all subject areas of the K-12 curriculum. Regarding science, preponderantly as a method of inquiry, we're reminded, although there is no universal agreement about teaching the nature of science, there is a strong consensus about the characteristics of the scientific enterprise that should be understood by an educated citizen. What engages all scientists is a process of critique and argumentation. Because they examine each other's ideas and look for flaws, controversy and debate among scientists are normal occurrences, neither exceptional nor extraordinary. Moreover, science has established a formal mechanism of peer review for establishing the credibility of any individual scientist's work. The ideas that survive this process of review and criticism are the ones that become well established in the scientific community, unquote. And yet naturopathy, which is, quote, very scientific, unquote, according to N.D. Wilson of New York A&P, calls criticism of its contents, quote, inflammatory, unquote, as N.D. Coda expressed regarding the Massachusetts Medical Society's pushback over the N.D.'s attempts at licensure there. My own, quote, critique and argumentation, unquote, concerning naturopathy has, in fact, been termed, quote, deranged, unquote. Put a negative sign in front of that. This is naturopathy, after all, where values are usually reversed. But if calling the naked emperor naked is deranged, then I accept the compliment. I was raised to call the naked emperor naked. So this is where I remind naturopaths who may be listening to this podcast series that if they are going to claim, quote, scientific, unquote, upon the essentially naturopathic and, quote, humanistic, unquote, as the New York A&P bill does, and, quote, non-sectarian science, unquote, as my ND school alma mater does, then expect your ideas to be wrung out thoroughly by such rigorous processes as analysis, criticism, and debate. And part of that process is my invocation of the Next Generation Science Standards contents in relation to the essentially naturopathic. If naturopaths decide to do science and put their stuff through that mechanism that I just quoted from by way of the Next Generation Science Standards and supernaturalism and kind survives scientific scrutiny and revolutionizes all things scientific, I'll eat my hat and swallow the buckle whole, as they say. The challenge: get vitalism, supernaturalism, teleology, homeopathy, detoxification, craniosacral therapy, iridology, and the like actually, quote, science-based, unquote, and win that Nobel Prize and perhaps James Randi's $1 million. Or you could merely do, as naturopathy does, simply fabricate what you want to be regarded as science into law and whine that any discussion, refutation, or objection to your claims are, to use that NDCOTA term again, quote, inflammatory, unquote. Boo-hoo. This is their, quote, inauthentic categorization, unquote. Natural when supernatural, natural when fabricated, natural when fake or inauthentic, scientific without the procedures. I'll note you have to earn that categorical label of science. It is not decreed by law from a position of authority. If you recall, in a previous episode, I quoted from Andy Pizzorno, who had said he had, quote, coined, unquote, the term, quote, science-based natural medicine, unquote, to describe naturopathy. Science is not just etching words in stone and carrying them down from the mountain imperiously. And if you recall, I had called Andy Pizzorno in that earlier episode, quote, the science-based emperor, unquote, as naturopathy so often decrees authoritatively by way of its lists of principles, oaths, and therapeutic orders. But if science is to be the essentially naturopathic's garment, then there, right now, is quite a nakedness. Only evidence and process are the authorities here, Joe, and Paul, and Pam, and Jim, and Donnie, and Steve. We must hold the torch of enlightenment to the essentially naturopathic, and they should feel raked over the coals in the process, because that is the forge within which the scientific is fired. So I'd said there is one mention of the essentially naturopathic in that National Academies Press publication. There is one instance of, quote, vital force, unquote, in fact. And it doesn't look good for Team Naturopathic. We're told, quote, understanding how science functions requires a synthesis of content knowledge, procedural knowledge, and epistemic knowledge. Procedural knowledge refers to the methods that scientists use to ensure that their findings are valid and reliable. It includes an understanding of the importance and appropriate use of controls, double-blind trials, and other procedures, such as methods to reduce error, used by science. As such, much of it is specific to the domain and can only be learned within science. Procedural knowledge has also been called concepts of evidence. Epistemic knowledge is knowledge of the constructs and values that are intrinsic to science. Students need to understand what is meant, for example, by an observation, a hypothesis, an inference, a model, a theory, or a claim to be able to readily distinguish between them. An education in science should show that new scientific ideas are acts of imagination, commonly created these days through collaborative efforts of groups of scientists whose critiques and arguments are fundamental to establishing which ideas are worthy of pursuing further. Ideas often survive because they are coherent with what is already known. This is sometimes called prior probability. And they either explain the unexplained, explain more observations, or explain in a simpler and more elegant manner. Science is replete with ideas that once seemed promising but have not withstood the test of time, such as the concept of the ether or the vis vitalis, the vital force of life, unquote. Oh my, what a present. As a bumbling researcher, an amateur epistemologist, I applaud the inclusion of epistemic in the document. Let me make that battleship noise, which means, quote, you sank my naturopathy, unquote. So, doctoral level naturopathy's labeling of the vitalistic supernatural as science violates the science standards that even apply to a kindergartner. It would be a mistake to say that naturopathy is being caught off guard by new scientific findings and developments, though the 2012 National Academies Press document is merely an iteration of a decades persisting scientific view of vitalism. So NYSED will contradict the rigorous, improved science contents it will likely embrace in the near future by allowing naturopathy to legally protect itself with a law that labels its essential vitalism supernaturalism, no matter how veiled, coded, and camouflaged they make it, science, though that label is in fact false. What a nice arrangement. Licensed falsehood in academic.gov partnership. And I ask these questions again. Is it professional misconduct to practice what isn't scientifically supported medically with a false label upon such of, quote, scientific, unquote? Is it educational misconduct to pass a law that does that, since this law is under the .gov Education Department of New York State? New York Academy of Sciences. If you want the full Monty, particularly from biology, regarding vitalism and teleology, then there's no one I can recommend better than Ernst Mayr. If you recall N.D. Pizzorno's book, quote, Total Wellness, unquote, from 1997, that I quoted from in episode 3B, stated, quote, our self-healing abilities, the life force within each of us, which naturopathic physicians call the vis medicatrix naturae, our life force or spirit. This teleological force, the healer within, that is the essence of each of us. The real promise is a deepening understanding of and a faith in a universe in which the underlying design is one of total wellness. All the information in this book is fully referenced in the scientific research literature, unquote. Promises, promises. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary states regarding teleology, quote, the study of evidences of design in nature, a doctrine, as in vitalism, that ends are imminent in nature, a doctrine explaining phenomena by final causes, the fact or character attributed to nature or natural processes of being directed towards an end or shaped by a purpose, the use of design or purpose as an explanation of natural phenomena, causality in which the effect is explained by an end to be realized. Teleology thus differs essentially from efficient causality in which an effect is dependent on prior events. Modern science has tended to appeal only to efficient causes in its investigations, unquote. In naturopathy land, though, you were meant to be well, you deviated from that path somehow. It is your vital force spirit figmentation that sends signals of that to you, and the naturopath will correct that essentially spiritual misdirection causing physical disharmony. According to Wikipedia.org, Mayr was, quote, one of the 20th century's leading evolutionary biologists, unquote. And it may be possible to start to think that the teleology of naturopathy, the intelligence or the purposefulness of that vital force spirit figmentation, greatly parallels the idea of intelligent design, which has been, as we know from Kitzmiller v. Dover, vetted as science exterior and disguised creationism. The New York Academy of Sciences 2007 archived page, quote, the autonomy of biology, how the complexity of living systems makes biology unique, unquote, which is an excerpt from Mayr's book, quote, what makes biology unique, unquote, states, quote, Chapter 2, The Autonomy of Biology. It took more than 200 years and the occurrence of three sets of events before a separate science of the living world, biology, was recognized. One can assign these events to three different sets. The first set was the refutation of certain erroneous principles. Under this heading, I deal with the support for certain basic ontological principles that later were shown to be erroneous. Certain basic explanatory principles not supported by the laws of the physical sciences and eventually found to be invalid. The two major principles here involved are vitalism and a belief in cosmic teleology. As soon as it had been demonstrated that these two principles are invalid, and more broadly, that none of the phenomena of the living world is in conflict with the natural laws of the physicalists, there was no longer any reason for not recognizing biology as a legitimate autonomous science equivalent to physics. Per vitalism, the nature of life, the property of being living, most naturalists were convinced that in the living organism, certain forces were active that do not exist in inanimate nature. They concluded that, just as the motion of the planets and stars is controlled by an occult, invisible force called gravitation, by Newton, the movements and other manifestations of life in organisms are controlled by an invisible force, Lebenskraft, or vis vitalis. Vital force. Those who believed in such a force were called vitalists. Popular from the early 17th century to the early 20th century, the end of vitalism came when it no longer could find any supporters. Tell that to the naturopaths. Two causes were largely responsible for this. First, the failure of literally thousands of unsuccessful experiments conducted to demonstrate the existence of a Lebenskraft. Second, the realization that the new biology, with the methods of genetics and molecular biology, was able to solve all of the problems for which scientists traditionally had invoked the Lebenskraft. That's parsimony. In other words, the proposal of a Lebenskraft had simply become unnecessary, as in non-parsimonious. The critical logic of the vitalists was impeccable, but all their efforts to find a scientific answer to the so-called vitalistic phenomena were failures. Generations of vitalists labored in vain to find a scientific explanation for the Lebenskraft until it finally became quite clear that such a force simply does not exist. That was the end of vitalism. Teleology is the second invalid principle that had to be eliminated from biology before it qualified as a science equivalent to physics. Teleology deals with the explanation of natural processes that seem to lead automatically to a defined end or goal. Purposefulness, or as I've said, naturopathy's idea that the life force has intelligence. Aristotle invoked a fourth cause, the causa finalis. Alas, no evidence for the existence of such a teleological principle could ever be found, and the discoveries of genetics and paleontology eventually totally discredited cosmic teleology, unquote. And incidentally, in a 2004 Scientific American article titled, quote, The Evolution of Ernst, Interview with Ernst Mayr, unquote, we're told, quote, I show that biology is as serious, honest, legitimate a science as the physical sciences. All the occult stuff that used to be mixed in with philosophy of biology, like vitalism and teleology, all that sort of funny business I show is out. Biology has exactly the same hard-nosed basis as the physical sciences, consisting of the natural laws. The natural laws apply to biology just as much as they do the physical sciences, unquote. If biology wasn't able to comply with the natural laws, by the way, we would be invoking supernaturalism. And that's what the naturopaths are doing. NYU and University College London physicist and mathematician Alan Sokol. Sokol writes in the 2006 archived, quote, Pseudoscience and Postmodernism, Antagonists or Fellow Travelers, unquote, at physics.nyu.edu, quote, For my own part, I have been struck by the fact that nearly all of the pseudoscientific systems to be examined in this essay are based philosophically on vitalism. That is, the idea that living beings, and especially human beings, are endowed with some special quality, life energy, elan vital, prana, chi, that transcends the ordinary laws of physics. Mainstream science has rejected vitalism since at least the 1930s for a plethora of good reasons that have only become stronger with time. But these good reasons are understood by only a tiny fraction of the populace, even in the industrialized countries where science is supposedly held in high esteem. Moreover, and perhaps much more importantly, the anti-vitalism characteristic of modern science is deeply unsettling emotionally to most, perhaps all, people, even to those who are not conventionally religious. For instance, an essential to naturopathy, homeopathy was developed by Hahnemann, and its basic principles remain largely unchanged to this day, despite radical advances in our understanding of physics, chemistry, and biology that thoroughly undermine its alleged scientific basis. Its central tenets are the so-called law of similars, or like cures like, the so-called law of potentizations, and a vitalistic theory of biology, which holds that living beings are endowed with some special quality, vital force that transcends the ordinary laws of physics. These homeopathic remedies are pure water and starch. The alleged active ingredient is so highly diluted that in most cases not a single molecule remains in the final product, unquote. NYU naturopathy versus NYU physics. Other academic sources. Here are a few other quotes that catch my eye from my collecting activities over the years. Now, these are schools, as in colleges or universities, as in .edu, from the collection Appendix C01. A. The Austin College Biology Department states in the 2004 archived, quote, HWC44, Integrated Science, Earth, Body, and Mind, Changes in Scientific Thought, unquote. Quote, the vitalistic viewpoint, the doctrine of the supernatural, being that the universe is controlled by supernatural powers called spirits, gods, or vital forces, a premise not supported by evidence that cannot be tested and therefore is outside the realm of science. Those utilizing a vitalistic viewpoint have often attributed illnesses to such causes as curses, spells, divine retribution, sin, malignant influences, the will of God, or possession by evil spirits, unquote. Oh, superstition. B. The College of the Holy Cross states in the archived 2000 page, which covers exercise physiology, quote, vitalism, the opposite of materialism. Vitalistic understandings of life imply there is some unmeasurable, unobservable feature of organisms, call it spirit or whatever. It is a supernatural entity, particularly in the sense that it exists outside the laws of nature. Any supernatural phenomena, being at its core unobservable, incomprehensible, and outside of natural law, cannot be scientifically tested. Vitalistic explanations are outside of science and not the subject of science, unquote. Not processable by science, science exterior. C. San Francisco State University states in the 2008 archived, quote, Module 2, Evolutionary Theory, unquote, quote, the number of prominent vitalistic scientists gradually declined during the latter part of the 19th century. The last great vitalist, the physiologist Johann Müller and the evolutionist Herbert Spencer, could no longer hold out against their younger counterparts, Helmholtz and Darwin. Psychologists in the Helmholtz School of Medicine turned to the models of physics and chemistry and relied only upon physical and chemical forces to explain biological phenomena. Transformation equations were being generated. Energy changes from one kind to another was an empirical fact. Mechanical energy could be transformed into electrical energy and then into chemical energy. The interrelation amongst forms of energy is a major physiological explanation. The concept of force was challenged by the conservation of energy doctrine. Life force was unnecessary to explain animal functions, unquote. How succinct. And again, those who do not remember are doomed to repeat. D. Now, the last education-related quote I'll employ is from Wikipedia's, quote, Kitzmiller v. Dover Area School District, unquote. I'm wondering if, like in Dover, PA, the involvement and eventual accomplishment of the New York State Education Department in relation to naturopathy pseudoscience will open up New York State for a lawsuit similar to what the Dover Area School District lost to the tune of $1 million. To quote from the Wikipedia page for PBS's program, quote, Judgment Day, Intelligent Design on Trial, unquote, winner of the 2008 Peabody Award and the American Association for the Advancement of Science's Science Journalism Award, which honors excellence in science reporting, quote, Judge John E. Jones III rules that intelligent design is an inherently religious theory, and therefore the teaching of it is not permitted as part of a science curriculum, unquote. Now, intelligent design didn't invoke the supernatural directly, the way naturopathy directly invokes a particular kind of supernatural belief set. One could argue that the distance is not so great between is intelligent design scientific or just repackaged creationism, non-science, sectarianism, the latter, and is naturopathy's vital force and supernaturalism scientific or just repackaged New Age-like non-science sectarianism, the latter again. There may not be direct establishment clause urgencies involved, but I think it's a rather urgent thing to decide whether or not to give permission to a small group of irrationalists to unleash abject magic beans and unicorn tears-based stuff on the New York State citizenry while sporting a lab coat, stethoscope, and the misnomers excellent medical, humanistic, and science. The mother of all Episode 4 conclusions. But this won't be long. What else can I possibly say? I have exposed a ruse overall, in my humble opinion. A muddled ruse. I had asked the overarching episode question, quote, will New York A&P naturopathy accurately define and locate itself for the public and legislators in the New York State licensure bill that they are drafting for 2014 along the lines of its illegitimate informed consent and actual non-fiduciary status and inauthentic epistemic categorization, unquote. I know what I think at the present moment. For the first part of the question, regarding the supposed, quote, consent, unquote, that New York naturopaths are implementing, which is actually a waiver of their liability and New York State's, in no way would I accede hard-won basic consumer and patient rights to these health sectarians and to their New York State Department of Education accomplices. For shame, if you are going to practice medicine, no matter what you call yourself and what you market it as, I, as a patient, in granting you those privileges, must have the standard grievance apparatus, the standard justice apparatus, because the physician-patient relationship is so unbalanced. The physician-patient relationship is a fiduciary relationship, as in that sense of credat emptor. This bill draft language demotes that relationship. Instead, there will be a naturopath-patient relationship not much different than that of a used car lot salesman and someone who walks onto their lot. Caveat emptor. Beware, buyer. I think that is a deprofessionalizing of the doctor-patient relationship, and it will set a very scary precedent. Now, that's one aspect of, quote, consent, unquote. The other is simply the fact that the labels, quote, scientific, unquote, and, quote, humanistic, unquote, in my view, are false. And, as the second part of the overarching question expresses it, an, quote, inauthentic epistemic categorization, unquote. And these labels will have the backing of New York State's ultimate academic authority. I propose, based upon naturopathy's historic language preponderance, that we replace the label scientific with science exterior mixed with science, and all improperly labeled science, and humanistic with sectarian. How can we consent in an informed manner if we aren't told the truth and are fed what's false instead? Regarding the sectarian, to be clear about my context, if you remember earlier in this episode, I'd quoted from the Popular Science Monthly, circa 1889, quote, science is never sectarian. Philosophy is never sectarian. Sectarian teaching begins when you ask a man or a child to assume what cannot be proved for the sake of keeping within the dogmatic lines that fence round some particular creed, unquote. What is a vital force spirit figmentation that has no data to support it of a scientific sense, if not a dogma? When naturopaths speak and write of it, I consider those arguments to be similar to apologetics and professions of faith. What are naturopathy's principles and oath and activities aimed at their goals but a creed and similar to a religion's rites? Of course, we're one step closer to false posturing than, quote, assuming what cannot be proved, unquote, in that naturopaths improperly claim science has proved their vital force spirit figmentation, the supernatural spiritual, and junk-like homeopathy by way of their blanket, quote, science-based label, unquote. Yet, since we are dealing with a bill draft, time will provide the ultimate answer to, quote, will New York A&P naturopathy accurately define and locate itself in terms of its illegitimate informed consent and actual non-fiduciary status? I'll end with this observation. Naturopathy is constantly accusing, in a dog whistle kind of way, conventional medicine and its practitioners of merely treating symptoms, and that it, naturopathy, treats the cause. Well, when I mentioned what's inside of naturopathy that is not scientific, though they use such a categorical label anyway, the specific issue that I've highlighted is itself truly just a symptom. The disease, the cause of the naturopathological, is epistemic conflation. This has been part 5 and the conclusion of this 5-part NaturoCrit podcast episode 4. Thank you for boldly listening. And this has been
the NaturoCrit podcast.